going to start the council meeting. It's Tuesday, March 5th, 2019, at 7:01 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this opportunity that we have to continue to discuss the issues here. And we ask that you bless us with your spirit. Please bless those in attendance and please bless those that are able to. Please bless us that we can be civil and conduct the city's business wisely. In these things we say, in Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I have to get approval of the meeting's agenda.
I will move that we approve the meeting's agenda.
Motion made by Councilor Matters, is there a second? Second by Councilor Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We'll move on to item number three, which is the public comment portion of our meeting. And so when you come up to the microphone, just please start with your name and address, and Jason Hawk.
So my name is Jason Carr. So I have a bunch of thoughts. The first thought is my wife and I, we apologize for not reporting back. I felt the duty to report back, given that the Gulf Nets were risen, but we just failed to report back. So given that the polls have fallen down and we live directly across the street, we thought we'd come and just give our two bits real quick. I don't know if it's too late. Maybe a decision has already been made. We're not sure, but please ask us any questions, given that we live right there, if there are any further decisions to be made. But real quick, my wife and I, and also our other neighbors, we have noticed that the rising of the nets has helped greatly with the golf balls. It's blocked a substantial amount of the golf balls. So that's been great. But we have noticed as well that there's still a decent amount of golf balls getting over the net, and enough to where we thought we'd come at least report that, given that the balls have fallen over and obviously something has to be done. And basically our observations is it's the middle section of the nets where the balls are getting over, where they tee off and the end. Obviously, from my observations, there hasn't been any golf balls getting across the nets at the beginning and the end of the nets. But it's just that right-hand slice when people are using drivers. And the main alleyway of the balls mostly is right there at the intersection, the stop sign. We still see a healthy amount of golf balls hitting the street right by the stop sign, bouncing into the park, or actually making it to the park. So we just thought, while the polls are down, if you guys are discussing anything, we would at least bring all of that to your attention. And I know time's limited, but if you have any questions for us, because we do live there, please ask us any questions and we'll give you our honest observation answers. But just letting you know, the nets have worked, but there's still a fair amount getting over. I think you guys would want to know about.
I have a question.
Sure.
When you say fair amount, how many do you think? How many balls do you see coming over the net a day?
Depends on the day. Saturday, I mean, you're still seeing, I mean, we find 10 balls a day still on a Saturday, but there's kids that come pick them up. I mean, we're not there all the time either. You just still notice golf balls landing in the street, bouncing in the park. Like I said, it has greatly reduced the amount. I mean, I can't tell you how many, but enough to notice that there's still balls clearing the net. And one particular note is given after that they were risen, rose, you can actually hear the golf balls hit the poles. That's one thing I noticed right off after we raised them, is you can actually hear the driver slice hit the actual pole, whereas before you wouldn't hear that. So when you hear it hit the pole, obviously it's working, at least on that one golf ball, whereas before you couldn't hear it. I mean, if we saw 10 in a day, you probably, I mean, if you saw 50 on a given Saturday, you might see 10 or 15, I guess.
Thank you. We actually are going to be talking about this, Jason, on item number 9 tonight. So you're welcome to stick around if you want to go to the session. I know
sure.
You're in, so if you want to.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I don't know how this works, but ask questions. I mean,
right.
You don't need to raise the ante to save money, just be in the session.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else here tonight that wanted to speak in for the
conversation? No, I got it.
All right, we'll go ahead and close that portion of the meeting and move on to item number 4, which is consent agenda, approval of the minutes from the February 5th International Board Session City Council meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion by Councilmember Ellsworth, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to items 5 and 6, and we report to business for any opposed.
Yeah, in recreation, we have junior jazz season is wrapping up. They had another successful season, over 1,100 participants this year. So kudos to the recreation program for putting on such a great sports event for the kids in our area. Also in the recreation, there are a number of new classes that we're going to be starting. There's a science class for kids in the summer months, a mindfulness and meditation class. There's Lego summer camps, and they're looking at others who are interested in also doing as time works for both parties, that we're going to add. We're looking for more options that we can do in this building, so we can draw people into this building. Our soccer programs and tot soccer and teen soccer programs are now open for registration, and with weather permitting and the course conditions, we're hoping to open the golf course in the next few days. Obviously not the driving range, but the general course we're hoping to open up. The new city website, the new design of the city website, we've gotten some feedback from a number of you. We've tried to inquire 2 years to do this, but it's going to go tonight. If you see any bugs, we've tried to work out all the bugs that we have been made aware of. There's been a transparency button added and cleaned up some of the formatting that was brought up to our attention. But if you see anything in the meantime, please let us know. And then we're continuing to watch and participate in the legislative session. There are a number of bills that we're tracking, and we're going to update the council on those bills when the legislative session is finished and how they affect Cedar Hill. So look for that information as well. If you have any questions or if there's any bills that you're interested in getting for more information of, I'd love to hear about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Upson, I'm going to report. Councilmember Biss? Okay. On mine, I'm just going to talk about a few of those bills just in case I have a brief update. There was one that's cleaning up the bill from last year on UC restructuring and transit funding. And the one thing that changed there that pertains to us is that they have modified how members get selected for the UTA Board of Trustees. It will now have the involvement of the Council of Governments, which is all the Utah County Mayors in addition to the Utah County Commissioners. So that's been updated. On Tobacco 21, we passed that in our last meeting, and I think we've had several requests for a copy of our ordinance as other cities are looking at it as well. Representative Ellison has House Bill 324. Anyway, he has a statewide initiative to raise the age to purchase to 21. Mayor Johnson from Lehigh and I spent a lot of time meeting with legislators at the Capitol because one of the things that he wanted to include in the bill was some language that would prevent cities from being able to implement certain restrictions on tobacco, like act regards to advertising and sales and samples, and I explained to him that we have a tobacco over at Orange in our city that doesn't allow tobacco specialty shops, and so we didn't want any of that preemptive language in there, but he felt at the time that he could not get the support of the tobacco lobbyists without, they wanted that language that would prevent cities from doing some of those things, and he didn't feel like he could get it passed without the tobacco lobby support. So we spent a lot of time talking to legislators wanting to know why they had so much influence up there. Anyway, he didn't get the support he's looking for anyway, so it's been substituted with a clean bill that would still raise the age but doesn't have all those preemptions in there. So that was great news. PI meters, I think I talked about this last time, that that is moving forward, those kinds of the third to sixth class are excluded. I did meet with Senator Amerik and explained to him that it was hard for our city. I don't want to justify to our residents that larger cities in counties of the third class don't have to do this, such as to whatever Hebrew that we do, but you see that it's the only way that those are able to move forward. So that is still moving forward, and they have extended the deadline over 2039, so they've given us a bit more time to get those implemented if that does get passed. And then the last one is 2039. New homes affected immediately, but existing homes you have to through 2039 to get them all installed. Any streams of funding, so you can have up to 50% of it via grants, 25% of it existing can be a loan from the state, and then the other 25% the city has to figure out on their own. So we'll continue to watch that one. And then the last one is House Bill 441, which is tax reform, which you probably are all hearing a lot about. It just came out last week. It's 250-ish pages, 8,000 lines, so there are a lot of concerns about one. The interesting thing was Monday, when we had LPC yesterday, what was proposed originally in the bill was for cities, we have that local 1%, and everyone knows how that works, the 1% that's added on the state rate, and it gets split between cities, 50% based on population, 50% based on point of sale. And what they wanted to do was to allow, to keep that split 50-50, but the population would still be 50%, and as you grow, your amount would be higher, but on the point of sale, they wanted to cap the annual growth at 2.2%. So even if you add more retail into your city, or you have more shopping happening in your city, you could not receive more than a 2.2% annual growth. So I talked to Chandler, and he and Charlie pulled some numbers for us, and that our average over the last 3 years has been about 4.5%, so it would hurt us. But late this afternoon, it's changing all the time. I got an email from Mag saying that the state has realized that there are too many unknowns right now for cities. So they're going to leave it just as it is for now. They might revisit it next year, but for now, they're not going to change the city's allocation or formula. But it is supposed to start including services, and so there will be businesses in our community and home-based businesses that might provide services now that the state is suggesting will taxed. And one of the questions that has come up is that might even include supplying water to our own residents. So it's changing like every hour, I think, but we will keep you informed. There is a big push at the state legislature to get that through this year, even though we're going to have less than 2 weeks to really review. And like Chandler said, any other bills that you guys have concerns over, please let us know, because we're Contact our legislators and we're happy to share any feedback. Councilmember Bailey. Or elsewhere. I don't think this is. Councilmember Bailey. All right, so we'll move on to item number seven, review action and public hearing on amendments to city code title 10 chapter 6 related to indoor storage facilities over indoors.
For a commercial site in the SM zone or an indoor storage facility. And I believe it was last year we reviewed and overlays on the city created the overlay zone that allowed for an indoor storage facility to be located as a buffering use between some of your high impact retail and a residential neighborhood. It was determined that this indoor storage facility is a very low impact on the adjacent residences. We received an application for this storage facility with the development, and as part of that initial rendering, there were 50 overhead doors surrounding the building. There are 50 overhead doors, and they were on all four facades of the building, and you can see here that this this rendering. We've worked with the developer to say, look, we don't want to see any overhead doors on the backside of the building. Our understanding of how our indoor storage facility, our interpretation of indoor storage facility is that there are no overhead doors on the outside. Units are accessed from the inside and they're climate control. We don't feel like this means this, but we're willing to look at our code and to possibly offer some outdoor overhead doors. Limited scale. Initially, we had 50 doors. This building right now represents a building with about 35 doors. This is the front side of the building. These are the side of the stuff. And then this, on the other side of this building over here, you have many doors or overhead doors along the back. And the Planning Commission has worked with the developer to scale back the number of doors, to change the color, to kind of mitigate those visual impacts that you have in the commercial zone. I think the concerns that we had from the Planning Commission as it pertains to overhead doors were twofold. What's the kind of the noise impact on the site impact on the neighborhood? And then visually, what's the view of the building? But we're trying to build a commercial zone that has a certain aesthetic quality to it. What do overhead doors do to that zone? So the code as it's being presented tonight, the Planning Commission reviewed last Tuesday night, and we are doing a public hearing tonight, but they approved this code with some modifications, which are being shown right now, 5-0. So the Planning Commission took a look at it, and as I said in work session, there are two Planning Commissioners that live immediately adjacent to this property, so they're some of the most greatly affected by this building, and they feel comfortable with changes they need. But the code as it's being written, as it's being proposed tonight, would limit all buildings listed as either conditional or permitted use of the SC1 commercial zone may not incorporate any overhead doors or loading docks in the front line of the operation of the door. As part of the work session, we talked about possibly putting in public streets. Is that something that council wants to do? It's not retroactive. So you can't go back down to Walmart and say that you can't have two bay doors, right. But so it's on buildings.
I like the mayor's suggestion. I think that's much better.
Do you want to limit it to just loading docks or two bay doors as well?
Well, with the exception of those pass-through doors, there's a degree or something like that.
I feel like we've done a good job with the pass-through doors. This last down here in the bottom says exceptions may be granted for commercial uses with pass-through overhead doors for vehicle maintenance and vehicle service. This is an essential quality of the building. Generally, you have to have bay doors to come out of the building. So I feel like we carved out an exception from that because we don't want to deter that kind of commercial development. That's something that presents me with.
I think we have to figure out what I mean by what roads. There's a road that will go back in the network. Is there probably going to be able to see
there? There will be, right. So as you go back, if I can pull up the map here. Pull up a Utah County parcel maps. That we're discussing. So the storage facility is set to be right here. And there's a north-south road right here, 47 West, what we call it, is a public road. So yeah, you would have this development behind Hart's. You have another commercial located here on the corner of Cedar Hills Drive, 4700 West, as well as future commercial development south through this Cedar Hills Gateway development. So yeah, you have to be conscientious of you're saying we don't want this, we want bay door or overhead doors or loading docks to face public roads. And then you have a public road, a future public road that's going to go around north south of here, as well as two that access these properties. One right about right here, and another one, sorry, one that's on the problematic here, and another one right here. So you have some future belt there that. I don't know because there's not an application in. I can't tell you how the building is going to face what the use is going to be or even new bay door. So it's planning into the future. So this is the same planning the Planning Commission had on Tuesday night.
But in the future, if there was another application that came into council felt that followed along with what was desirable in that area, they could always change.
Sure. I think there's still some flexibility in it, so.
So do you want to add that about the overhead doors? You leave it as is?
See what comes up.
So not say that they can't be visible?
If you leave it as is, you're accepting the bay door later regardless. Because to change the code on them in that regard, you hide the ball, so to speak. And that's where you get the trouble. So if you're not wanting the bay door, now's the time to add it.
If you don't want invisible.
I'd rather add it now and deal with it later if there's something that looks acceptable. We can alter it at that point, but I think it does avoid problems down the road.
So what's the council thinking?
My feelings are that we just did it well. The reason why a storage facility is back there is because it's all that we have. We can't attract anything else there. We're just nitpicking and whatever, and that might keep people from wanting to build there. So my opinion is just to simply do it as is.
So we do say that we're trying to keep them on the side of the facades of buildings. So all overhead doors and loading docks shall screen from views and landscape events as weather proof. So there are ways that developers can mitigate the visual impacts that an overhead door has. And like I gave the example of Walmart work session, they have 5 or 6 bay doors there, overhead doors there on the south facade of the building. But when they're shut, which they're shut most pretty much all of the time, very rarely seen them open, you almost don't notice them. So, but I mean, that is next to a very high traffic road for city construction.
So that's the question, is do you want a store set up along the Alpine Boulevard? If you don't, if you want to make sure that can't happen, then you would need to add anything.
I would be more concerned about North County Boulevard than 4700 West. I mean, visually, this corridor here, I feel like this is people as they perceive Cedar Hills as they drive by, whereas if you're on 4700, you're already in Cedar Hills, you're in the commercial zone. So rather than saying public roads, you could just say, shall not be visible from the front or along from Cedar Hill, from 4800 West or North County Boulevard. Specifically calling out that road rather than all of the other roads.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, that would mean you just keep it the way it is.
No, you have to
add the language for North County Boulevard, but that would allow them to kind of shift their building so that it has a facade on North County Boulevard
that gives a
brick, and then any loading docks, any overhead doors
could be on 4700.
Could be on 4700.
Which is fine.
But I mean, if that's in front of their building, that would have to rotate it to be off of 4700. So there's ways that they can do this.
The only question I've got on that is, so obviously this isn't going in before other things go in. They'll be standing there in the back. You should be able to see overhead doors from North County for other store building. I'm concerned that that's going to prevent that.
On this building?
They're not facing North.
This building, if this is North County Boulevard, it's not facing City Hall. So you'll have some visibility for doors that are right here and then on the south side as well. But
they are, the requirement is that they are. They're not visible because of the landscape or fence.
We don't want them to put there's going to be a fence along the fence of the property, but we don't want them to put a concrete fence around the whole building. We don't want it to look like a compound. So that's why you have to have other measures that you can take to mitigate that visual impact. That's why the color of the door matters. Like I said, initially they were green, now we're trying to get their houses to bring red. But also landscaping and vegetation is going to really serve as a visual barrier there as well. And initially, it's not going to be very big because they're small trees, but as time goes by,
I'm comfortable with saying something along the lines of not visible from North County due to, you know, the fencing or landscaping or whatever barriers you have put in that section. You know, in the meantime, you're going to see it for a little while until everything grows out.
Okay, so if I'm understanding, you want to keep the red wording, but just add something saying that we don't want those big, those overhead doors to be along the high door.
This?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that. So, no overhead doors facing, no overhead doors facing North County Court. That's.
Any other points of this speech, Mr. Chairman?
Sorry, one more thing. The next paragraph was this changing the square footage from some total of all the square feet each floor to the measurements of the building floor plan. I think this is a better measure of scale of the building. You take the building floor plan, the height of the building, rather than the sum total of the floors.
Yep. All right, Council, I'll take a motion.
I will make a motion. Okay, I move that we approve ordinance 0305-2019-A, amending City of Cedar Hills Code Title 10, Chapter 6A, Section 5, related to building requirements, subject to the change that we mentioned about the overhead doors being visible from North County Boulevard.
Thank you. Motion by Councilor Anderson. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Councilmember Ellsworth. Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Dyer.
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We move on to item number 8, which is action on a resolution regarding amendments to the Cedar Canyon settlement agreement related to water rights.
All right. So I passed out a packet of documents that were received by the same a few hours ago from our attorney. As I discussed in the work session, the city's been in the process of working with Cedar Hills Farmland LLC and representatives from Wrigley Homes on the assignment of a settlement agreement, development property to Wrigley Homes from Cedar Canyon here, or the course of the Canyon. There's been a hiccup in the transfer of the water rights, in that the water rights that were originally transferred, there's a dispute on the title. I don't know if I need to get any information. So our attorney from Chris Bradwell has drafted these documents to help allow for the transfer of that land to proceed on time, but at the same time protect the city's interest in receiving those water rights in a timely fashion, but not prohibit, but doing so in a way that doesn't prohibit the development of that land. So we've passed out this packet of information to you. I'm going to turn the time over to Chris. He can go through that and maybe discuss the nuances of that. And if you had a chance to read that at all, and please ask him any questions for myself.
So, I don't know much of how little detail you want about this, and so maybe I should just sort of start at the beginning and tell you what I know, like how we got here, and how we're trying to address the problem. And as you know, the developer was obligated under the settlement agreement to deliver 47 acre feet of water to the city, plus sort of a catch-all requirement. If the actual water requirements were greater than that, so he went out and obtained a contract to purchase those water rights, and we helped him with that contract, understanding that we weren't representing him, we were representing the city. And we wanted to make sure that when you received the water rights, that they were essentially squeaky clean. And so one of the things we did is require that that the water rights be accompanied by a title insurance policy. And that's not very typical. There's only one title insurance company in the state that will, to my knowledge, that will insure water rights. And they got all the way down to the closing. Oh, and by the way, another step in the process for transferring water rights is to file a change application with the state engineer to move those water rights from their current location to the city's wells. And so the developer filed those change applications, went through the process. It typically takes about 4 months. Though the change was approved, they went to closing, and the title insurance company raised a red flag, and they said, we found a lien on these water rights. And what had happened was, the seller, let me back up, the seller used to own land that was vacant land and included water rights, and they intended, when they sold the land to a new developer, to retain the water rights for themselves. You can do that. You can split the land from the water, but you have to do it by deed at the closing. And their title company at the time made a mistake and did not retain the water. So the water right owner bought, they still own these water rights, entered into a contract with the developer to sell them essentially to the city. The title company discovered that, unbeknownst to everybody, the water rights were now in the name of a new developer, and he had gone out and financed his development and put a lien on his property, which now included the water rights that he didn't own. So the original title company is now on the hook to try to make this right, and they're trying to negotiate, my understanding is, they're trying to negotiate with the banks to release the lien of this water so that the sale can go through. In the meantime, the contract also provided that if those water rights didn't work, the seller had to come up with other water rights to sell. And so our developer, Brian Button, has now entered into a second water purchase agreement with the same seller for a completely different water right to sell to the city. So essentially, the seller is obligated now on two contracts. They're trying to work out the title issues on the one, but if that doesn't work out, there's another group of water rights that are ready to be sold, but they haven't filed a change application on them, so they have to go through that whole process again to get those water rights approved for the city, which they're in the process of doing. In the meantime, our developer, Ryan Button, is running up against, his agreement with Weekly Homes to sell the project, and the water didn't come through, and so what do we do? So he came to us and he proposed that we establish some kind of an escrow. He said, I'll put into escrow any amount the city wants to secure the purchase of these water rights. And he proposed that he deposit twice the value of the water right, and we pitched that idea to Chandler, and Chandler said, that sounds like a good idea, but and I want to emphasize this is not. This is not an agreed upon deal. This is a proposal for the city council to consider, and ultimately it's your decision on how to address this issue. The water, by the way, is under contract at $5,000 an acre foot, which works out to $235,000. We doubled that amount, and then we added in a whole bunch of contingencies and costs going through the change application process, the cost of attorney's fees, and title insurance expenses, and so forth, that we just came up with a round figure of $600,000, and that's the money that you see here in your packet. If there are concerns about that, we could increase that amount. We also put a requirement in the contract that that the developer has to assign both of these water purchase contracts to the city, so that the city has to step in and take the money out of escrow, acquire the water rights on its own, and can do that. Alternatively, if both of these contracts were to fall through for whatever reason, the city could simply rely on the market and acquire water rights on its own. And then whatever money is left over at the end of the day will return to Mr. Webb. So that's the proposal that's before the city council, and that's an explanation for how we got here. I think it was, I think everybody's operating in absolute good faith and doing their part to meet their obligations. I should make one other point. We put in here that when the settlement agreement gets assigned to David Weekly Homes, that the developer's obligation to deliver water to the city is not part of that assignment. That remains with him, both in his individual capacity and in his LLC. So he will carry the burden through this entire process to satisfy that obligation. That's going to be a contractual obligation on his part, secured, if you will, by the amount of money that is going to be deposited in this room. Any questions?
Questions from the council? I will discuss this in work session.
I just felt like it's a reasonable approach to the problem that will probably get worked out in the next 60, 90 days.
Yeah,
so I think we're covered as a city in Star Trek.
I think just two things that Chris and I discussed on the phone is one, that this is a full assignment of the settlement agreement, settlement agreement and development agreement to an LLC established by Weekly Homes. It's not necessarily two Weekly Homes. I think it's like CDR. At Cedar Hills, they've given us a name, but it's basically a subsidiary of Weekly Homes. And two, it's not effective until the closing date of their closing, so that they're not being assigned this settlement agreement and development agreement if something were to happen between now and their closing date, which is in the next 10 days. That they're not left on the hook for these rights and obligations of these two agreements. I think that's the only two things I wanted to add.
Let me mention just two other quick things regarding the escrow. Number one, the escrow is going to be established at our firm. So we'll set up a trust account in the city's name, and we will hold those funds for the city. And we'll draft the escrow instructions in a way that will be very favorable to the city to give you ready access to that money when the time comes. And the second part is, the date that we put in there is November 30 of this year, so it's, 6 months out, 8 months out?
Yeah.
When that date comes and there's still, we still have issues, that's when the city can step in and take matters into their own hands.
All right. Are there any questions from the council? I will take a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Go
ahead and make a motion. We approve resolution 03-05-2019A, amending Cedar King Subdivision Settlement Agreement related to the Vegas Water Rights.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. And I'll work with Chandler to get all the documents put together. I think they wanted to close a week from this Friday.
The 15th is their day.
That's what we're shooting. Okay,
thank you. We'll move on to item number 9, which is review of actions and public. Sorry. I didn't have a public hearing on item number 7. You need to go back and do that?
I'm going
to
do it right now.
Let's do it right now.
Go back to item number 7. We included with that a public hearing on the amendments related to the changing of the city code title 10 covers it related to the water storage facilities. Is there anybody here who wants to speak during the public hearing about item? Okay, we'll close that public hearing and move on to item number 9, which is review action and public hearing on a resolution adopting fiscal year 2019 budget amendments.
No one wants to read that.
He can make it bigger. He can make it bigger.
I can't see that.
No. Well, that's why you have it in here. It's in Dropbox,
it's
too.
It's in Dropbox. Yeah, it's a little Dropbox.
Jeff, you want to read that for us?
Chandler, you had LASIK. You can read it.
They can't read that. I can read that now.
I can. So in the last, golf course has been open 13 years, 15 years?
16.
Okay, in the last 10 years, we've had two incidents where poles have blown over, fallen over on poles that are supposedly a 40-year life. And quite frankly, it's not good. So we're looking at a solution. We're proposing a solution tonight in the budget amendments here that we feel will address the concerns for all of our lifetimes. And it's moving all the poles from wood poles to steel poles. So basically, it's a total reconstruction of the entire fence to raise it. What we're proposing tonight is to raise it at its current height of 50 feet. Mr. Haar did send an email to the mayor showing the middle sections being raised an additional 10 feet. We went out to bid on that, and we have a bid for that. The budget amendment for this project is $176,000, which Charles will explain where that money's going to come from and how we're going to pay for that. In order to raise it an additional 10 feet for five sections is $200,000. So you're looking at $24,000 above what Charles is talking about. So. We did look at Mr. Hart's proposal as a staff, and we talked to Greg, we talked to the rec department. We haven't had any, I think the raising the 10 feet has helped quite a bit, because we haven't had any cars get hit so far, cross your fingers. But I think in any project, trying to mitigate the last 1% is the most expensive part. So. That's my two cents, but that's all that Charl presented. But that's the scope of the project. So when we're talking about the golf course driving range, it's a complete rebuild of our fencing.
All right. We have a few different major things we're funding this year. We have a big project in process. And we have a Lone Peak public safety contract that we're leaving in to pay approximately $280,000 to move to American Fork Fire. And so that and the driving range fence are the large items. We're discussing, we also have some smaller items like golf trades that we do every year. So, we do budget conservatively, just in case there's a downturn in order. And also that, so we can save for rainy day things, but we have had a lot of big things this year. So keep that in mind. Also, we have a lot of items that aren't in our contract, like furnishings or our tables. Sound barriers, if you need them for the pickleball court, stuff like that. Those are $20,000 for a sound barrier. So you just have to say. what's important. It's all important, so it's like really hard. Okay, we are getting a little more property tax than was projected, and I think some of that's we've had a lot of greenbelt land lately converted to non-greenbelt, so that makes the value go up. And so that's where that's coming from. We also received some help from the changes in sales tax for Class C roads that the mayor may be aware of. And so we're supposed to get additional funding next year for the whole year. We'll get a little bit this year. But because of that, because I'm trying to scrape money to come up with money for this, these different items, moving the remaining Class C road items out of the general fund for expenses and the transfer, and zeroing those out to the Class C roads fund, and they'll be absorbed by approximately $29,000 in new money, and then the rest we have in fund balance. And I'll go over some of the projects later in a later presentation on Class C roads. But also, we've had some expenses go down this year, project them down. One is legal services. Some engineering services have been higher because of all the projects going on in the city. We've had an increase in revenues for passports. And thanks, Colleen.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Sorry. And then, so as you brought up, at $280,000, we knew the contract was going to be more. We didn't know how much more. So we budgeted more in police, which we can decrease for this year. Next year, it'll have $114,000, which you'll see. But for this year, we can decrease that for $39,000 and increase fire for $280,000 due to buyout. And that's just an estimate. Could be a little more, a little less. But then right below that, you can see transfers that we've updated. Monthly we transfer $76,000 from the general fund to help cover public works building debt service. I talked to Jonathan at Science Bank, and he said that's not a requirement. And so to help fund this, we are moving that money from the water and sewer fund to the capital projects fund to help pay for the fencing. And then we're also, because we're concerned about making sure our golf course is safe, we're moving money to the golf course to help improve the path in certain spots, doing some maintenance and preventative work. We're also, so then we move down to the golf fund, and you can see the trades that we've done for this year. We have a few tournaments that LMO Barbecue provides food for, and that gets netted against the tournament fees that we collect, and then they get punch passes for their work. And then the other two are for advertising, Chase Media and Dog Pack trades for some season passes. And then below you can see some of the costs for adding money to the repairs and maintenance on the course so they can work on the golf cart path. And for increasing his credit card expenses, they've been going up. So those are some of the adjustments we have made there. So very top of that's showing Class C roads funds. Those expenses have been moved over except for weed control, which is just going to be absorbed by park maintenance going forward, weed abatement. Then you can see in the capital projects fund, that one, there's more expenses than there's revenues coming in. And well, we're canceling two projects. That doesn't really bring any revenue in, that just delays projects. And then we're transferring in the $76,000. So that was going in the water school. And for there's $9,000 for the parks that we do in the general fund, and then we are adding a truck to our public works fleet so that they can be more efficient when they're out there, and they can have a person that's good with one a job or project that's good enough with one person, that that person can take a vehicle and won't have to share it with someone else. So that's an overview. I'm sure you have some questions or something, but that's what I was proposing before this meeting. I wasn't aware of anything else that I needed to fund.
Questions from the council on any of those projects? What were the two projects that were canceled?
Updating, we have some amphitheater ADA engineering we've had done so that we can improve that theater side at Heritage Park. And then we also setting aside park tax money for our older parks to improve them. And Heritage Park was our first park that we were going to put on updating.
Is there any way to trade any of that practice range medicine?
Trade?
Like,
the trades,
is it? No, the trades.
No, they're coming from Florida.
That was the best. They tried to get the best quality, value, fence.
We ended up, we got three bids. This is the low bid.
But it was also.
So the reason we were able to lower the bid even more because we were able to negotiate with the group that installed the current poles to come and retrieve them, which is normally about $10,000. We were able to get them to come do that for free. They get to keep the poles. But so that saved us $10,000 right there to decrease the cost of installation. But yeah, so we got the three bids, this being the low bid, $176,000.
All right, what did they range?
They went as high as around 215.
Yeah.
Now, every pole will be steel?
Every pole will be, yeah.
And the advantage to this one, too, is each individual section is separate. So if there's a cut,
if there's an issue with the netting, we don't have to replace the whole net. We can replace sections of net as needed.
So the net, is there any salvage value in the existing net?
We'll surplus it. I know there's already been a couple people interested in purchasing it, purchasing portions of it. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Maybe carp removal at Utah Lake. But we will surplus that. The poles, the estimated life on the poles is, they're saying at least 80 years, 70 to 80 years.
We said 40 on the last one. So,
yeah.
So is there no warranty on those poles?
There was, and it expired 6 weeks, 6 months ago. Yeah. So, we've even upgraded the class of wood poles that we've used from class 2 to class 1, which are supposed to be more resilient to wind and weather conditions, and they're not even holding up over there. So whatever's happening, that this is, we're not totally sure. An engineer is coming out this week to do an insurance review for us.
That's my other question.
We are claiming it as, we are claiming it on insurance. They're cautiously optimistic, but not hopeful. I don't know. But it won't cover the whole amount, even close. Anything we get is good, but we're hoping to get a fraction of that. Let me say, like, maybe an eighth of what, covering an eighth of the cost. So they're coming out to look at that, but it just, given the conditions that we've had out there on the course, the wood poles have just not served us well. So that's why, as a staff, we're recommending to go to the steel poles. We do have bids to replace just the wood poles. My fear with that is that we're going to be back in that, in this situation in 3 to 5 years.
So before you raise the height of the net, were you having cars being hit?
Yeah, we were a few times on Cottonwood. We haven't had a car from a group, a soccer club that used to rent the park there, and they'd find the balls. Mr. Har's right, you'd find the balls, a number of balls down there in the northwest corner of the park. They'd fly over the fence, either bounce in the road and into the park or just into the park if they're a really good hit. But they haven't complained either. They haven't heard any feedback from them. Really, the only place where we've had cars get hit is along Canyon Road.
I know the Hars. I appreciate you guys, your input. That's how you're right there. So, but I mean, I try to golf when I golf. I try to drive that way. And since the next one, I really did notice a significant.
I think there has been a significant reduction. But we did see you did a quick drawing that you sent to the mayor, and we took that, and we did get a bid for it, and we tried to figure out how much that would cost us. And like I said, the bid came back from the same company. It was $24,000.
So that's raising the five middle sections.
That's raising the five middle sections to 60 feet.
I think it's six
poles. No, I just pulled up.
It's five sections. It's five poles.
It's five poles.
Five poles.
Yeah, it's five poles. I pulled up the bid.
That's $24,000 on the steel, additional to the steel.
Yeah. So, I just pulled up the bid. It is a nice even $200,000 is what they're giving us for that bid.
That would be my personal preference for them. I understand their concerns.
Sure, I want to ask one question. On the fire services, the buyout, we're not going to be able to, we're not even going to put a number until probably September. So how do we budget adjust, especially since it's in the general fund, this fiscal year when it's not going to be paid out until next fiscal year because it can't sit?
It's
capital or anything.
It's an expense that we know about. We bring it up. You can estimate. You do your best estimate. So it's not related to the next fiscal year. That isn't an expense of the next fiscal year. Expense of this year because our contract has to
agree. So, do we have to? I was always in the position to have an invoice dated before the end of this year in order to count for this fiscal year. Is that not the case?
I don't know that
no,
we're going to get
not
an
necessarily.
Invoice.
It's when it's earned, it's not when it was.
Yeah, I don't
know. Yeah, and that usually the invoice date shows when it was earned, but if it was earned and earned.
I think we'd rely on the date of the contract.
It was earned over the last 10 or 15 years, but we would accrue that back, and it could end up being a little bit less or something. But and we're drawing down from the general fund and the capital projects fund for all these things, and so. The sense of urgency, obviously, is this has to be decided right now so that golf can order their events.
How soon would they be?
By faith that we'll be okay and we'll have money later for these other things that we want, it's possible, but I'm not supposed to present by faith. I'm just supposed to tell you where our numbers are right now.
I just didn't realize that we could count something this fiscal year when we're not paying until the next fiscal year, but.
Yeah, we have that, there was, before I even started, there was a sewer project that the county did for us, and we agreed in a contract that we would reimburse them, and so we had this contingent fee that we knew we were going to pay, but we didn't get the invoice for months after the year end. It happens. It's not common, but it happens.
On the driving range net, there is a bit of a sense of urgency on this one way or another, whatever we do, because golf, like I said in my manager's report, we're trying to open the course in the next week or two. And obviously, it's not going to get done in the next week or two. We're looking at probably 3 to 4 weeks before they're scheduled and on site. And so probably another week, week and a half after that, optimistically. So we're probably looking at a month, maybe 5 weeks before we have a functioning driving range again.
You'll see the poles come down next week, and we'll have a couple of weeks until they can stabilize and get out here.
So council staff said needs some direction on which way you want to go, and we had about 25,000 right now is included in the centers.
I would love to hear Greg's opinion on raising the...
Well, I think Chandler touched upon it. I mean, honestly, we have not heard from anyone this year of any issues at all. The ball's flying over. I mean, I know that they come tonight and say what they say, and, you know, I believe you, but we have not heard any issues at all. Like Chandler said, no cars in the end.
I would never say that there are no balls going over the fence. There are balls going over the fence.
We haven't
heard about them. So the quantity of balls is kind of unknown. I know we go try to collect them as we can, but
they're usually gone. Usually they're gone. It's your call. It's 100% your call. It's, you get that money. For us, I think just going to the steel pole is going to be a huge win for the long term of the course.
Thank you.
And as it's one thing we didn't talk about, it's going to have a skirt on the bottom of it too that actually catches the balls as they come down.
Personally, I'm fine with leaving it the height it is. And I'm a golfer. I feel bad with having spent this much money on this issue, but I think this is a long-range solution. I think it's appropriate.
Section and just looking for the long term down the road, wouldn't have to ever upgrade it there. That's just part of it.
My personal thing is, a couple years ago we raised them, and it just seems like it's just more and more money. The staff presented is good. It's inevitable to catch all the balls. It's just like that. We can raise them 10 feet, you can raise them 50 feet. It's just like that. So, I vote for anything.
We do have a public hearing scheduled for this. Wait, are there any other items on the budget amendments that you wanted to address? Okay, so we do have a public hearing scheduled for this item. Is there anybody here who wants to speak regarding the budget amendments? Okay, I will close the public hearing then. And if there are no other questions from the council, we'll come back and I will take that motion.
I'll make the motion that we adopt resolution number 3-5-2019. Resolution amending the amended the 2018-19 fiscal year budget for the city of Cedar Hill.
Motion made by Councilmember Gibbs. Is there a second?
Second
by Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibbs.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We can move on to item number 10, which is a discussion on the fiscal year 2020 budget.
It's that time of year again, huh? We're going to go over a lot of funds. Actually, we're going to touch on all of them except for water and sewer tonight. But I don't plan on taking as long as everything else is doing. In our budget workshop, we discussed bank account improvements for the city in the upcoming year. This included some technology improvements, some capital improvements with water, relating to water pressurized irrigation. There was also a possible elevator, which could help going up and down some of our buildings that don't have one. Harding Park is obviously a huge project that's going to continue for the next year and a half. And then working on improving the safety at our driving range, golf path, bridge, and having to update plan for St. Andrews, new event signage and holiday banners, updated business plans for community services, and a review of staffing compensation.
Okay, I'm sorry, can I interject one thing? Just a footnote. This last year we've had our, we discussed this slightly in our budget retreat, but we had our golf, our events, and our recreation department come up with business plans. And in the meantime, we've also had them do kind of constituent surveys. We're wrapping those up. The recreation had about 500, over 500 responses, I believe, and golf is still ongoing, but there are over 600 responses. So we've got three good surveys, one from the residents, one from golfers, one from events or recreation participants. In an upcoming work session, we're going to send those out, and we'd like you to go through those. And if you have any feedback, we'd like to go through those with the council. But these business plans are going to reflect some of the feedback that we're getting from those surveys. So I just wanted to update the council on those. Thank you. Sorry.
No, that's good. Okay, you have a lot of the same issues every year, and most of them either are helped or hurt by the legislation. But our sales tax has been our strong point for the last several years, and hopefully that stays the same and the state legislature doesn't want it. And other things are mostly flat, property tax, franchise taxes, and stuff like programs and golf revenues, they flatten up. And so there's not a lot of other things that increase. We've been having some increases with like passports, but that still starts to level out over time. We know that the fire EMT contracts going up when they switch to their own building. So that's $81,000 we have to plan for down the road. Additional park maintenance, we know we've got to plan for, and trying to keep our employees, especially the ones that are, we like all our employees, but there's some key ones that have a lot of knowledge and mentor and help the others that legal costs vary from year to year. Unfortunately, it's seemed to be more stable lately. Then we have our infrastructure and security with our IT. I had to deal with this last year. And then intergovernmental impact I brought up. We've had some positive things like growth funding, and we have potential grants that we can apply for.
You can choose some color.
We've had some that we've actually gotten the color management. And then we've had demands, whether it's grandma or other state reporting compliance requirements that they have every year. So what are the big things we have coming up, big expenses besides Harvey, is we just finished a park master plan, so there's plenty of repairs and improvements over the next decade that we can do to enhance our current parks that I have. There's always our vehicle and equipment replacement, and infrastructure improvements. So, economic trends, we've seen some of this. Unemployment's really low. The counties that are seeing the lowest is, you know, Utah County, the Wasatch County. All around us is really dark. So that's, that means we're all around 3%, which is extremely low. Consumer attitude is still above 110, which means people feel like they're economically prosperous. And Utah's inflation is that green line, which is much higher than the national rate of inflation. So we're at 5.4%, and this U.S. is 1.9%. So, some pictures of what our general fund pays for. We got public safety, parks, public works, recreation. This is where most of our revenues right now are coming from sales tax, a third, and that's why we have to be so careful and conservative, because it's a big part of what we're budgeting every year. Our current trends, like I said before, most things are pretty flat, sales tax, and we've had a little bump in property tax with the green belt switches. Sales tax there again, you can see the blue line of our current year right now has been doing it. And some of that's good economy, it's a combination of good economy, some of it's inflation. It's hard to see. But the first one on the left is green fees. That's our largest program line item. The second one is pro shop. It's slightly above two. Overall, golf revenues are a little down only because our trade-ins are less this year than they were the prior year. Overall, it's about the same. Event center rentals are slightly down, and recreation programs are up. So, what if you pulled out the budget, you just wanted to know the highlights, these are some of the highlights. Growth in certified property tax, certified property tax in growth, it's around 20,000. Sales tax revenues are being increased 81,000. Other general tax revenues are flat or slightly down. Licenses and permits, we anticipate to be slightly up due to Cedar Canyon and other things going on in the commercial area. Intergovernmental revenues are down due to the loan people moving out of our fire station. They used to pay rent for that. Garbage recycling has increased just with the growth. People are throwing more trash. What's going on with it? Passport fees continue to grow a little bit. Recreation programs are growing with classes, and events are just slightly down. So overall, if we didn't have that hit from the loan peak, rental income, we would have had an increase of 142, which is pretty good. And we just get a lot of 84,000 with that $58,000 increase.
I'm assuming the recycling fees are increasing because of the increase in recycling fees because of the China.
Yeah, well, this is just an increase from prior years, and this is after the increase in price.
I think we addressed that during last year's fee schedule.
Yeah.
In
so there's no price, there's no fee increases this year for garbage or recycling. but it's just the scrub. Where you now are going up.
Have you given any thought to what we might do with our bar station?
We've done initially.
I mean, you've taken it off right away, but initially the Merrick Court building won't be ready.
No. But the way they structured their contract is they just gave us a lower cost. It's not going to be.
They're not paying.
It's just a net. Yeah. So it's not. It's just not showing up. Yes, they could be there 2 or 3 years or whatever.
But as a staff, we've had some internal discussions about what we do with that building when we're done. We're filled to the gills at our current building, but I don't know that there's a pressing need to occupy two buildings at this point. We've done a walkthrough on that building, and there does need to be some TLC, so that we're talking about new carpet, some fresh paint, maybe just retile some areas. Right now, there's not a plan in place for what happens to that building after American Fork leaves. There's nothing.
They haven't even really settled on a new location yet.
No. I anticipate it's probably going to be closer to 2 years rather than the 1 year that they were saying.
Yeah.
Which the longer the better, really.
So here's a summary of the contract. And this was the best contract out there, so just keep that in mind. Police safety, like I said, it went up $119,000. I'd already budgeted $39,000 the previous year, so the difference in the budget only shows $80,000, but it's really a $39,000 contract increase. I just set aside some money knowing it was going up. Fire, overall, it's a wash because of the loss of revenue. Plus, last year we were budgeting some capital expenditures. And so it looked $30,000 higher, but our operating expenditures were about the same. But we're getting a lot more staffing, and that's good. So on the expenditure side, our legal costs are turning lower. We always have to pay for elections like every year. The street expenditure line has been moved to Class C roads, but we have more funding now than we ever had for roads. Code enforcement has been increased. That was one of the priorities brought up at the workshop. So we talked about them working peak, 40 hours during the peak time, and 30 hours when it's a little slower. And so with the growth in revenues, it's offset by the growth in garbage costs. We're just collecting more than anything on. So it's just a wash. Parks, we have a few changes going on there, and if you can pull up, I don't know if you guys can pull up this, but let me explain some things that are going on different. If you go to park expenditures, it will be on the fourth page of your budget. And there's some new line items. We have full-time wages, you know, that are allocated.
What's the line number?
1064.
1064110. Sorry. It's the first line item under parks expenditures. So we've added that line item. I've added a line item called tree pruning supplies planning. It's 1064230. Because we're going to have a parks, and we still have park supplies and maintenance that we've paid out of the contract, and also public works is used to do maintenance in our parks, and we have the committee related to parks, and then we have utilities. We have to pay for the water and electricity, and new tools that will be needed to maintain the parks. That's just the tools that are like under $10,000. But there's going to be a few different things that they're going to have to buy, mostly just in the first year to help maintain the parks starting January. The contract would change January 1st. And then there's a line for motor pool, which represents a truck for golf and parks, and a large mower and a smaller zero-turn mower. So, with all that, we're able to allocate, what we're doing for trees and what we're doing with our parks. I think after the learning curve is over, we'll see some improvements in our parks. So that's when I said park has changes. That's the big one there. Library reimbursements we're proposing, unless you have something else in mind, to increase from $40 to $50. Right now we budget $17,000, but we've been using around $12,000.
My package would be to update the signage to update the 73-year 30-40.
No. Do we want to do that? We can do that immediately, or do you want to do it till July 1st?
We'll do it effective whenever. We can do it now.
I mean, people, I don't know if people will complain that they came in last week and got a reimbursement for $10 less. I don't know.
So.
It's gone.
It's gonna go faster. Transfer to capital projects fund. Due to the additional gas tax funding, we're able to set aside some money for capital projects fund and replenish our general fund that's being drawn down this year for something fire. And then we have a placeholder of 4%, which is 7% health insurance, and that can be adjusted. And if the cost is $2,000, 4.25%. One cost is $1,000 for 1% in a health insurance cost, which we don't have a estimate. There's a meeting tomorrow morning, early and early, stretching room. But anyways, health insurance is something we still need to find out what the actual cost would be. It's a nice resident picture of our golf course. Okay, some of the results over the last 5 years. The last line on the bottom is what we've transferred into that fund each year. The lines above it is how much we use for capital outlay and how much we use just for operations. So generally we spend under $100,000 for operations, and then when we buy equipment it goes higher. Payson's the next small city, and over the last 5 years They had a hole of 3.5 million. We had a hole of 2.2 million when I came here, and we lost the money. But they've been digging out of that hole, and I think they're close. But they don't seem to have quite as much revenues. And one of the challenges we have with expenses is our healing. Golf course, we have to buy or lease more expensive golf courts so that people are safe and they can have automatic breaks and stuff, which I'll bring up later. later. But our Fox Hollow's financials don't get published anymore by Pleasant Grove when their finance director changed from Dean Mundell to Denise Roy. But the only number you get is that they pay $240,000 each city pays into the pot, $240,000 each year for operations and debt service. And then we levied $310,000 last year, and we transferred in $142,000. So that would be a total of $452,000.
About half of what Fox Hollow.
Overall, we're very competitive on our pricing. Our revenues are slightly up, but generally good. We've been using Chase Media and Valpak. Are there other options? We had Great Life present some marketing option at the subscription, and there's maybe we can reach out to new residents with Welcome Pack or work with, I don't know how Lowe's contacts came here and city, or new residents gives them a Welcome Pack or something like that. But maybe there's ways we can reach out to all these people moving in.
Can I just add, you hopefully you've all seen it, that this year's free round also went out to all the residents this month.
Does what?
The free round of coupon went out this month. So, so they're doing a good job trying to be as efficient. We now have pretty new equipment that doesn't break down as much, so that helps with some of the repair costs. And going forward, we'll be able to allocate some of the golf superintendent and mechanic wages to parks as they help make our parks nicer. And where you're going to see a bigger savings is in the next year when the Harley Park was done, we would have to pay $40,000 in addition to what we're paying. It would be $200,000. And we won't have to do that. So the plan is to transfer in 135, which is less than last year, and that helps because they would start in January doing some park planning and maintenance. Also, Lauren Collins has been helping us work on repair and maintenance for the bridge and the fall apart path. They have got a test soil that can help us with our golf cart path.
A quick question on the golf revenue. On the other income, 20-3-800, that is just completely gone away. I'm just curious what that was.
So that's our trade-ins. And since we aren't buying any new equipment because we spent a lot of money on the driving range and different things this year, we don't have anything to trade. So that's it right now. That's just our trade-ins. Okay, so Class C roads. The projects planned for this upcoming year, Harvey Boulevard, besides what's being widened, a lot of the rest of the road would be milled and repaved. 4600 West, there's a section. Bay Hill Drive, there's part, Canyon Heights, and 9900 North. So, those are the upcoming plans. Now in this fund, they can just get the best pricing, whether that's in June or July. They just keep whatever they don't use and it rolls into next year.
How many Class C road funds? The only revenue is Class C money. Any roll snow removal into that fund. Would you use posse money for snow removal?
Yeah, anything that helps with streets. Yeah, I took weed control because I wasn't sure what I was going to do yet.
The Class C, it does include specifically street maintenance and also the lighting, sidewalk, curb gutter maintenance as well. So that's why we've moved it all into the same fund.
So if the street lighting is helping with the road, you can count it. Because I talked to someone who got it, I wanted to make sure I had clarification. And they said, if it's a decorative light and it's not helping with your roads, then that's just being put in. So. Some upcoming things in Harvey Park, getting little snippets. So our point of sale's been doing good, so our park tax revenue is much higher since the break. We had a break where we didn't have it for a year, and we're getting in the low 40s, now we're projected over 50,000. So that's good. Transfer.
Just to give you a comparison, American Ford told me that they bring in about $3 million in
that
category.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I do. I don't know where it goes. We have a potential for higher impact fees. And I think the 90,000, with the 90,000, we can, you know, get these picnic tables and make sure people have a place to sit and enjoy the park. And we have the whole Harvey Boulevard, I'm not sure when that's going to get done. So there's a little bit of money set aside. It might all get done in the current year, but. And then I just held off on the Heritage Park for now until hopefully we can wrap up Harvey this next year.
Is that more expensive than we thought it was going to be? Because it was $600,000 last year, and now we're adding another $200,000.
Well, no. What I'm saying is, let's say they get two-thirds done with the project. I didn't reduce it. I just said I think there might be a little bit left.
I see.
By this fiscal year.
Yeah. It's going to overlap fiscal years. And the motor pool fund, there's going to be. This is our history for the last few years. So, I don't know. Generally, it costs us $100 to $200 a month for a vehicle, which is pretty good. We don't have to pay for hardly any maintenance because of new, and then we get to sell it at a pretty good price because we buy it without sales tax and it holds its value. The new areas. So the charges to the funds on the motor pool generally slightly down. The purchases I discussed a little earlier for park maintenance, we have a truck and a couple of big mowers. And then for public works, we have three trucks that are being replaced. And they're also, Public Works is recommending purchasing a backhoe and keeping that for 10 years instead of renting. We've been renting backhoes in the past, but the contracts aren't as favorable as they used to be. And then with all our specialized vehicles, like our 10-wheelers, we just kind of keep them until they're dead because they depreciate so fast and they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we're just. We'll just budget more for maintenance and those. Okay, this is just preliminary, so just to give you an idea of where we're going, and I can get any, if I missed anything that you felt like we talked about in the tree or that came up later in the neighbors.
Thank you.
How about some
more work for your
department's
idea?
Yeah.
All right, unless there is anything else the council discussed,
I move that we adjourn.
Yes.